Chapter 8. Bella of Brockhall's huge striped face lit up with pleasure.
Well, this is a rare and unexpected pleasure, Abbess Germaine. Come in, all of you. Welcome to Brockhall.
Abbess Germaine led the brothers and sisters of Loamhedge into Bella's ancestral home, down the long twisting passage into the massive cave-like main hall, whose ceiling was the arched roots of a great oak above Brockhall. They made themselves at home around the wide hearth, whilst Bula the Otter and Peer the Squirrel, who had acted as their guides, explained to Bella what had taken place. The badger listened carefully, settling back in her old armchair.
I had an idea something like this would happen. That's why I left Goody Stickles and came home here. Nothing ever goes as planned with Gomph. Still, not to worry. That young rip will be right as rain, you'll see. First things first, let's get you all fed. You must be famished. I was baking a batch of chestnut bread. It'll be ready soon. I'll make some celery and fennel stew with hazelnut dumplings and get a cheese up from the storeroom. Now, stop looking noble, the pair of you. I know what growing otters and squirrels are like. You can wait here after you've eaten until the rest get back. Fetch bowls from the shelf for our guests. That's it, make yourselves useful.
Eagerly, the woodlanders did as they were bid. Then they sat with the Loamhedge brothers and sisters. Bella rose and embraced Abbess Germaine.
My old friend, we were many summers younger when last we ate together.
The Abbess placed a thin worn paw over Bella's hoary pad.
Yes, the seasons are born anew. But alas, we grow older, my friend.
Oh, but not you, Germaine.
Bella chuckled.
You look as young as ever. What news of Loamhedge?
The Abbess could not prevent a tear trickling onto her grey whiskers.
Loamhedge? What magic in that name. But the happy times there are gone like leaves down a stream. You heard of the great sickness?
Bella nodded.
I had heard something from travellers, but I thought it was far south. I did not think it had found its way to your home.
Germaine shook and closed her eyes, as if trying to ward off the memory.
Only those you see here escaped. It was horrible. Everything it touched withered and died. I could not.
Bella patted the old mouse gently.
There, there. No need to say more. Try to forget it. You can call my home your own, for you and your mice as long as you like. And please don't thank me. You'd do exactly the same if I needed shelter. In fact, you did many years ago, when I was young and liked to travel.
The two old friends went to the kitchen and began preparing the meal. Bella told Germaine of all that had taken place in Mossflower.
This is a sad and oppressed place you have come to. Though once it was happy under the rule of my father, Bor the Fighter. I was still young then. I returned from my wanderings with Barkstripe. He was my mate. We met far to the southeast and returned to stay with my father at Brockhall. I think that father was waiting for this to happen. My mother was long ago gone to the gates of Dark Forest. She died when I was a cub. Bor the Fighter was a good father, but a restless spirit. He had tired of ruling Mossflower and wanted to go questing just as his father, old Lord Brocktree, did before him. One day he left here and Barkstripe ruled in his stead. Those were good seasons. We had a cub, a little male called Sunflash, because of his forestripe, which had an odd golden tinge. He was a sturdy little fellow. In the autumn of that year, the wildcats arrived. Vadorga and his brood took over that old ruin of a fortress. There was none to oppose him, and he brought with him a vast horde of wicked vermin. At first we tried to fight back, but they were so cruel and merciless that they completely crushed us. Barkstripe led a great attack upon Katia, but he was slain, along with many others. Those who did not escape into Mossflower were caught and left to rot in Vadorga's prisons. Alas, that was all long ago. We have learned to keep ourselves safe here in the thick woodlands now.
Germaine drew loaves from the oven on a long paddle.
Where is your son, Sunflash? He must be quite big now.
Bella paused as she laid the bread to cool.
While I was ill and grieving for Barkstripe, our son stole out of here one night. They say he went to Katia to avenge his father's death, but he was far too young. Sunflash has never been seen or heard of since. many, many seasons have gone by since then, so I think that one way or another my son ended up at the gates of Dark Forest with his father.
Outside in Mossflower, the afternoon shadows began to lengthen over the trees that were budding and leafing, promising a thick emerald foliage for the summer. In another part of Mossflower, not far from Kertir, a male tunic and tabard bearing the thousand-eye device slipped carelessly from a high spruce branch and landed in a crumpled heap on the forest floor. Argilor shifted from claw to claw as he preened his pinions, carefully arranging his long wing feathers. A good fat stoat was extremely welcome. But Pine Marten, that was a delight he had yet to savour. Argilor would wait. His time would come. A marten with a wooden leg could only run so fast in any direction. The eagle snuggled down into his plumage, glad that the spring nights were kind to young and old alike. It was good to visit old hunting grounds again.